from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
And we head into hour number two of Gwen and Chris. Happy Thursday to you, Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby, all together in the Odyssey Palace Studios until 5 o'clock. Then it'll be the commercial-free hour of Padre Baseball Talk, the roundtable, coming up between 5 and 6 p.m. And after that, Scraby Chronicles from 6 to 7. So we have most of your evening planned for you while the Padres are idle today. And while they are idle, the Padres have actually fallen out of the playoff spot. The New York Mets passed the Padres by a single percentage point today, but the Mets shut out Washington 7-0. So the Mets and Padres are in a virtual tie, but the Mets with a percentage point lead in that wild card race. Diamondbacks are a game and a half back, Giants 2.5, Pirates now only 2.5 back. Speaking of the Pirates, Paul Skeens, he's going to make it real tough on Jackson Merrill to win that Rookie of the Year. I mean, I want Jackson to get it. I think a guy that plays every day in center field and the whole thing and all year deserves a lot of credit. But Skeens goes out and pitches no-hit ball today again for 7 innings. They take him out after 99 pitches, and they shut out Milwaukee 1-0. He's 6-0 with a 1.9 ERA.
He's got to get through the whole season.
That's right. We've got to hope.
That's the deal. We see pitchers often come up and right. Get out the gates like this. Can it be sustained? Looks like it right now. Looks like there's nothing going to stop him. But that's what this.
Do you think he should start the All-Star game? Should they take it that far next Tuesday and put him out there to open the game?
He's making it very hard for him not to start the All-Star game. I'm just saying. I wasn't a proponent of him starting the All-Star game. I think I said it on the show. But he keeps going out and doing this kind of stuff. It becomes really hard to keep him off of the mound.
99 pitches, rookie season. It's a different day and age. I mean, they would have never taken this guy out 15 years ago, but there was no way they're going to let him have a chance to finish today. But I think it's the second time he's pitched no-hit ball this year and been taken out. Yeah,
that's pretty good.
He's off to a really good start. So what are you going to say? Cody Bellinger. Going to take him off the trade for list, at least for a while. Goes on the injured list, broken finger.
Uh-oh.
Suffered yesterday, hit by pitch. And that's pretty much the baseball news of the day while the Padres are off. We got a daily gambit to get to. So before I talk too long and Scraby throws up his arms.
Yeah! Chris, what are you doing?
Let's get to it.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. We will be going over some of the bets that we made on Tuesday, which started with Euro Cup play, England and the Netherlands. Chris and I both said England. And England did win 2-1, so congratulations to them.
Thrilling match, right? They score in the 91st minute.
Oh, yeah, that's what you were saying yesterday.
To beat the Netherlands. Setting off a celebration like no other. I don't know if you saw the Instagram or posts.
No.
The celebration like in London where they all gather to watch the game.
My English brother and sisters
can only imagine what that was like.
They know how to get down.
Yes,
they know how to get down.
Yes, they do.
That was the first time England actually looked like the team that everybody expected to see right there.
Yeah, I got a lot on the chat yesterday about how England is like, I hate to say it this way, but it was put this way. England's like the Padres. They have a big playoff win every once in a while.
I don't know enough about it to say that.
I don't know their whole history. I know they're going to play Spain for the title on Sunday. Euro Cup championship.
Are you going to be cheering for the English?
Well, I was cheering for the English this time because I've been to England.
Okay.
But now I've also been to Spain.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now I don't know who to cheer for.
Which place did you like more?
England.
Because
I can find my way around easier.
Oh, my gosh. Canada, Argentina, over, under 2.5 total goals in the game. Chris said under. I said over. Chris was correct. Argentina won 2-0. Well, that's annoying.
That was the... That's the Copa America, which is going on concurrently to the Euro Cup championship.
I'm so happy.
So Argentina will play Colombia in that final. Colombia beat Uruguay 1-0 last night.
When did Chris become this like FIFA expert?
Yeah, I'm pretty good.
It's the Copa.
Copa, yeah. The Uruguayan players went up into the stands after the game,
yeah,
which was a little unnerving.
It's a little scary.
But Tony said that was...
Yes,
it was because there was family members that were getting heckled and there were problems there after the match.
You know, in soccer, I think it's a different set of rules. Fans...
I'm not quite sure if there are any rules,
right?
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes as a player, you might have to go up there and give somebody some work. It's just...
Give somebody the business.
It's just the way it goes.
I will say this. I did see a clip of one of the Colombian players just flat out threw the elbow right into the mug of a Uruguayan player. He got ejected. Colombia hung on with 10 men. See, I know my soccer terminology better than you think.
Look at you, Chris.
That's right. Played down a man.
Okay.
And still won.
All right,
that's enough.
Let's see. The next one would be Taylor Fritz against Musetti. And we both chose Fritz. He was a 5.5 game favorite, but he lost outright, so we lost that bet.
Lost in five. It was a disappointing exit for the Torrey Pines High grad. Thought he was going to go to his first Grand Slam semifinal.
That was after Fritz upset my man, too. Came back.
Zverev, yeah. And then he let it slip in the fifth set. He got blown out 6-1.
Now, I was looking for the result of Djokovic and Demonar, but
they
it said
did not
walkover.
It
what
was.
Does that mean?
That means that Demonar could not play.
So he moves on.
Yeah, Djokovic moves on, and that bet is nil and void.
All right.
Null and void.
Next one, Tuesday night, Phillies and Dodgers. Phillies were 1.5 run favorites, and both of us chose the Phils, and we were right because the Phils won 10-1 that night.
Last night, the Phils hung on by about 4 feet. Two out, ninth inning. I think it was Rojas for the Dodgers hit one to the fence, and Castellanos caught it right at the wall.
That's what's so disappointing about
two of that series.
That's what's so disappointing about the Padres losing 4 in a row is because the Dodgers are losing. They could be gaining ground right now,
anyway. Or the Dodgers could be winning right now while the Padres are losing and spacing this out.
Mariners and Padres over total over under 8 runs in the Tuesday night game. Both of us went under. Both of us wrong. Mariners 8, Padres 3, total of 11 runs.
Yeah. And remember I said at the time this was an automatic to bet under because A, Logan Gilbert wasn't going to give up any runs. B, the Mariners couldn't score runs.
Yes, you
and
did say
both
that.
Things happened.
And, I mean, the dude who had been struggling all season decided to have a big day in Julio Rodriguez. Him
so
and Rally combined for 6 of the 7 runs.
Yeah.
It's so annoying. All right, Chris, that's it.
All right, here we go for today. I'm 8-3 this week,
nice.
Which is kind of good. You're 5-6, which is, you know,
not
all right.
Good.
Tony's level par. 0-0. Here we go. Tonight, it'll be the Phillies and Dodgers again. Phillies go for the sweep with Aaron Nola on the mound. They're favored by 1.5 runs over the Dodgers. Game is actually in the top of the first inning, so hurry up and make your bet.
I'll go first. I'm going to go with the Dodgers. I don't think they lose three in a row.
I'm not going to get swept. I say they'll get swept. I hope they get swept.
Who's pitching for the Dodgers today?
Well, it was listed here, and now that the game is under, it's not listed anymore. It's somebody I've never heard of.
Oh, it was the young kid.
Yeah, the Dodgers are throwing Dodgers. A lot of... You're going to go with the young kid. Okay.
Dodgers.
All right. Who lasts longer tonight? Who pitches longer into their game? Luis Castillo for the Mariners at the Angels, or Max Fried of the Braves pitching in Arizona?
So the bet is more innings?
More innings pitched. Castillo or Fried? I'm gonna go Castillo here.
Castillo.
Yeah. Mariners pitching is good. Tony?
Castillo
Fried's good
or Fried,
too.
Though. Yeah.
Oh. I was about to say Sale. Give me
Sale will not be.
Give me your first. What was the first one?
Castillo.
Give me Castillo.
You got him. Scrappy?
As a contrarian.
I like that. Go Max Fried there. A's and Red Sox tonight. 10 runs over under at Fenway Park.
A's, Red Sox.
Tony, you're first on this one.
A's at Fenway.
A's at Fenway. Luis Medina, Tanner Houck are the starting curlers in this game.
Tanner Houck, Tua.
Okay. All right. Get your mind out of the gutter.
That's not. Will you? No, his name is Houck. It just makes me think of Houck, Tua.
That's gutter. That's gutter talk.
No one knows what you're talking about until they look it up.
Give me the Red Sox.
And by the way, Chris, last time you told me to stop saying that in the air, all the parents told me their kids already
knew. Excuse me. So. Give me under.
Under.
I'm going to go
everybody's parents said their kids already knew what Houck Tua was.
Yeah, because it's on TikTok and stuff.
They know way before we know.
Yeah. What'd you say, Scraby? Under?
Yeah.
All right, I'll go over. But Tanner Houck is pretty good. All right, tomorrow Djokovic is favored by 6.5 games over the young Italian Lorenzo Musetti. Semifinals at Wimbledon. 6.5's a lot, but it is Djokovic against a relatively unknown 25th ranked Italian. I'm going to go with Musetti, though. I have a feeling about this kid, and he's going to push Djokovic tomorrow, I feel.
Okay.
Even though Djokovic got the walkover win in the last round.
All right.
Tony? 6.5 games he's got to win by. So if it's like 6-3, 6-3, 6-3, he'd win by 9.
Give me Musetti.
Out of way.
I can't. I can't root for the Joker.
Can't root for the Joker right now. You're still upset with him for his
pettiness.
Good night.
I love me some Joker after that
you
whole
like
thing.
You like that.
So.
You're going
good
Joker.
Good pick.
Wow. You know what they should do? They should disband. They shouldn't do anything. They shouldn't cheer. It shouldn't boo.
That would bother
him. Like, we you didn't like that we respected you. Now we just aren't going to do anything.
Well, he is playing a guy named Musetti, so the fans could go, Musetti!
They might go that route.
No, I've been on the tour 20 years. I know all the tricks. I know all the tricks.
You can't get me. The other Wimbledon semifinal is a pretty tip-top matchup between Alcaraz and Medvedev. To the top five players in the world, 39.5 games is the over-under total games played. Have to go at least 4 sets, probably 5, to get over that number. And Tony's up first.
Medvedev.
Medvedev Alcaraz.
Over-under 39.5.
Over.
Over. Scraby.
I'm going to go over, too.
Over. Sounds like an over. Sounds like a 5-set thriller. Tonight in the WNBA, New York Liberty favored by 9.5 over the Chicago Sky.
Liberty
have the best record in the WNBA right now, as they have passed Connecticut for the lead in the Eastern Division. I'll take the Liberty, but you know that's just me. Scraby?
You know what I gotta say? Angel Reese is pretty good.
You're liking Angel Reese now.
I mean, she's proven it. She's doing it. Didn't she have a bunch of double-doubles? She set the record.
I think she's still got a
double-double streak going right now. 14 consecutive games.
So she's backing up you know, the trash talk.
She's backing it up, although the other night she took a little flack, and I don't think it was warranted. But they were way ahead, and she had 9 points, and the clock was running out.
She got that bucket.
And she started calling for the ball. She's like, give me the ball!
And
they threw it to
her,
and she got fouled, and she made the free throws, and she went over.
So got her double-double. So I'm going to go Sky.
Go Chicago. Tony?
Liberty.
Liberty.
Liberty. Liberty. Liberty. Liberty.
All right. All right. Very good. Reese is on the board here. 12.5 rebounds over or under. Just said she's been over 14 consecutive games on double-digit rebounds. But will she go over 12.5 tonight, Scraby?
I'm going to say under. She gets like 11.
11, you say. Okay, Tony? Angel Reese, 12.5 boards.
Over.
Over. You know, there are some Angel Reese haters out there, and I think it's getting a little unfair. They're starting to call her Moses Malone now.
Because she's batting her board staff.
She's batting her board staff by throwing the ball up and missing and grabbing rebounds.
Is that what's happening?
Even if it is.
It's happening a little bit. I don't know if it's happening all the time.
Getting your own rebound is tough.
Yeah, like you risking it by throwing it back
up
there.
That's true.
There's only been two guys I saw do that. It was Moses and Chuck. No, three. Dennis used to do that all the time.
But Rodman didn't do it on purpose. He just couldn't make the shot.
I've seen him bat that ball off the board many times. That's all I'm doing to the Lakers all the time.
What'd you say, Scrib?
I said under.
All right. Tony, you said
over.
Over. I'm going to say over just because of all the haters. 13 rebounds at least for Angel Reese tonight. There's our daily gambit. See how it all turns out when we reconvene tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
In the meantime, let me remind everybody that this hour 97.3 The Fan is, it's already been brought to you by the Farmer's Dog. Good job by you, Scrape.
Actually, read the top of the sheet, Chris, and I'm going to
The tip top of the sheet?
Yeah.
Before the show, we need to talk about reads. Reminder for myself. Is that what you wanted me to read you?
Yes. So we'll be talking about that in the break.
All right. I don't know what that means, but I guess it won't have anything to do with anybody out there, since you're telling them what we're going to do during the break, and they won't be able to hear.
That's true. Boom. That's true.
Brilliant, Scraby. Brilliant strategy by you. More Gwen and Chris after traffic.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Scraby has notified me that this is a short segment.
Well, now I'm seeing the clock. We got 9 minutes.
Yeah, I was about to say, this doesn't seem like it's going to be that short.
No.
For all of you EA Sports,
it's in the game,
college football fans, I got some ratings for you. I know Jesse and I have been talking about this game's debut.
When does it come out?
It's a good question.
Is Jesse a gamer?
For this, he will be.
Okay. Really?
This is a classic game that was shut down for, what, this is 9 years? I think 2015 was the last year.
It's been a long time.
Does that mean that the technology would be such that I might be able to learn how to play?
No, I think the technology would be such that you won't be able to play because it's...
I really kind of... You guys talk about this and have so much fun. I feel like I'm really missing out.
It comes out 8 days from now?
July 19th.
Oh!
Yeah, we've been talking about the show because I keep telling Chris how much I love playing at the Polo Grounds. And I'm going to do this. One day, I'm going to bring in my PS5. We're going to hook it up to the big screen. And Chris and I are going to play some show.
Great idea.
Just so you can route me because I won't know what I'm doing?
No, I'm not going to route you.
Well, you know what I'll do? Try to.
I'll choose the Rockies, and you can be whoever you want.
Oh, thanks.
The Phils.
The Rockies.
Well, I should be able to be Beverly Hills High School and beat you under those circumstances.
Because of the Rockies?
Yeah.
Here are some ratings on EA Sports College Football 25. The quarterbacks. Who do you think the number one quarterback in the nation is, ratings-wise?
I'm just going to guess and say the guy from Georgia, Carson Beck.
He's second.
He's
tied for first.
Carson Beck.
Yeah.
Georgia quarterback.
Was he their quarterback last year?
I think so.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
Shedeur Sanders is also
Shedeur!
Tied
at Scraby doesn't want to hear that.
We're about to talk about him
Scraby
in first.
Scraby doesn't want to hear that.
17-18 overall, Shedeur and Beck.
Can you, as Shedeur Sanders, can you illegally park your Rolls Royce on campus?
Was that Shedeur? I think
that was Shedeur.
That wasn't his brother?
No, Shiloh owes $12 million to a man that he beat up, but that's another thing.
Let me ask you this about Shedeur.
Me or Tony?
I'll ask Tony because I know what you'll say. What his final stats last year, I don't expect, he struggled mightily. The second half of the season, was that all blamed on the fact that they had such a bad offensive line?
Pretty much.
Okay.
That's what it
sounds
like.
So he's that good.
That's
we think.
That's what we keep. What's the head coach at Nebraska now? That was
Matt Rhule.
Matt Rhule had an interview with, I can't remember the gentleman from Fox. Platt?
Oh, Joel Klatt.
Joel Klatt. Very nice guy.
He said he had talked about Shedeur very highly because I guess he had him at a camp, so he's the truth. So
okay.
We'll see. They supposedly fixed that offensive line. You see, we would expect the numbers to now go up.
If I asked Shedeur Sanders how good he was, he would be willing to tell me.
I think that's a Sanders trait. They've never been one to be laughed confident. So
no.
Nor should they. Now, overall, the number one player in the game will be a young kid named Will Johnson. You guys know who he plays for?
No.
See, back in the day, you wouldn't need to know. You just need to know his number because they didn't have names on the game.
Oh, that's
now,
true.
Because everybody's getting broke off, they will have names.
Yeah.
Will Johnson is a cornerback for Michigan.
Oh, wow.
Michigan has two top 10 players in the video game. Travis Hunter, Colorado's...
Okay.
Right. He was the two-way star,
yes.
Right?
They got him as a wide receiver on here. He's number six overall. I'm not sure you guys will recognize any of these other names, because I don't. Will Campbell, left tackle, LSU, no?
I haven't recognized, other than Shedeur Sanders, I haven't recognized a name yet.
Ollie Gordon II, he's the subject of our Big Five
yeah,
we'll talk
topic.
A little bit about Ollie in a second.
Yes.
James Pierce Jr., no? Tennessee,
no.
Right in.
Can't help you.
Caleb Downs.
No.
No? Number five player overall. Free safety, the Ohio State.
The
Ohio State.
Malachi Starks. No?
I know these
are guys that will probably be top end of the draft when it's all said and done.
That is true.
Is it good that we don't know anything about college football anymore?
I don't think so. Maybe it doesn't matter because we still are going to tune in.
Right,
to,
we'll watch. But
there was a time where I felt like I would have known a lot of these names. And I don't know if it's because I'm getting older and I'm further removed from it?
No, I think it's because players are moving around right and left.
Yeah,
and there's no way to keep
right.
track of it unless you are really, you know, a college football, you know, fan. You got to be big time into it.
Quinn Ewers.
Yep.
Ewers?
I know who he is. Texas. Yeah.
Oh, there we
go. He's 27th or 92. Jalen Milroe.
Oh, Alabama.
Well, what was his
Lank.
Lank.
Lank stands for something.
Yeah, letting all the naysayers know.
Yes.
That's what
yes, Reese
it stands
Davis
for.
Thought it was something else.
No, Reese Davis.
Pat McAfee thought it. Yeah.
But that's your little rundown for
college
football.
Do they have Arch Manning?
They don't have his ranking. Now, he just got involved. Remember, he originally declined
that's
to be
right.
a part of the game.
That's right.
But I think in like the last couple of days, he's changed his mind on that, and he will be a part of
it. I
the
wonder
game.
What happened.
They probably paid him.
They probably
now. What about
him.
The coaching carousel in college football?
It says 87 overall for him.
Who are the new coaches? The Alabama's got the Washington guy.
They, you know, Washington's got the Arizona guy?
I think so,
yeah.
Arizona got...
This is where it gets difficult right
Mesa
here.
Mesa College? I don't know who Arizona got.
We got a bunch of new conferences this year.
You know what? And I feel I'm a great sports fan.
I have no idea.
I could not tell you. The ACC, Big 12...
Because half of the Pac-12
layout.
Went one way and the rest went another way.
So weird. It's going to take so long to get used to figuring all that out and... Almost as long as it's going to take Stanford and Cal to travel back and forth to the ACC all year. I just feel for those kids. I really do.
It is.
So somebody can make millions of dollars off them, they got to sit on a plane for, you know, 12 hours a week.
The Arizona coach is now the old San Jose State head coach, Brent Brennan.
Of course.
Okay, very good.
Yeah,
of course. We know that the new San Diego State coach is the former Colorado offensive coordinator. Sean Lewis. Good luck, Sean.
Yes.
All right, that's what else we got? That's all I had for the NCAA
stuff. I think we're okay with that.
All right, let's get to break. When we come back,
fair or foul, which we are going to be talking about Shedeur Sanders and
yes,
his Rolls
you know,
Royce.
And other things.
Scraby's got to get a Shedeur Sanders Rant. Fair foul in there for sure. More Gwen and Chris on the other side.
Annie and Elston.
I think that this roster, had they been this roster last year, even though that roster last year had a ton of talent, this roster is better, and I think a coaching staff would have even wanted the roster that you have this year over the roster that you had last year, which was a bunch of more superstar-y names, not necessarily being guys who are wanting to prove themselves, that were finally on a team that had a chance to win.
Listen to Annie and Elston weekdays from 10 to 2 on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Every day is an extraordinary Earth Day at Computers to Kids. C2K is celebrating 20 years of helping keep San Diego green by taking your donations of computer systems, laptops, and tablets out of landfills. For 20 years, C2K has refurbished computers and has donated thousands of computers to low-income families, seniors, and veterans across San Diego to help shrink the digital divide. Every day is Earth Day at C2K. Learn how you can help, give, donate. Go to c2sdk.org.
Got a question for you. Do you love Mediterranean food? Like we do, try Spiro's. They've got the best Mediterranean cuisine. Authentic. In Coronado or La Jolla. Also at Petco Park. If you're going to the Padre games this weekend, grab a little Spiro's. Dining or takeout options. Visit spirocuisine.com. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby together in the Odyssey Palace Studios today. Tony just ran out for a second. He'll be back because we're doing a fair or foul segment here in just a few minutes. That is the segment where Scraby reads a bunch of controversial tweets.
I've changed it slightly.
Well, it used to just be Padre tweets.
Yes.
But we've opened it up a little bit.
Yeah, I couldn't keep going with the... It wasn't sustainable to do Padres-only tweets.
Well, because all the tweets about the Padres right now are foul. They've lost four in a row, and everybody's really, really mad. And
yeah.
Thinks the team's never going to win another game, and, you know, on and on it goes.
So it's not necessarily tweets anymore, but it's more of statements, and it can be a tweet for sure. Like, there's a couple that are tweets in this one, but they're just different statements.
And we'll decide whether they're fair or foul. So that's coming up in just a few seconds. Dodgers going to get swept in Philadelphia? Not yet,
yeah,
but it's top of the second inning. Trey Turner's already hit a home run for the Phillies. They lead 1-0 over the LAD in the top of the second inning. Earlier today, if you're just tuning in, Padres idle, but Paul Skeens did it again. 7 no-hit innings, struck out 11. Pirates shut out the Brewers 1-0. Skeens, you know... It's just funny because it's not his fault, but I don't think anyone in San Diego is rooting for this guy to do well because we want Jackson Merrill to be the rookie of the year.
There's something about a pirate being popular that I don't like.
Well,
it's so weird to me.
This guy is the popular guy right now. 6-0, 1.90 ERA. Impressive, I must say. Brewers did end up getting a hit in the game, but they were no hit for the first 7 innings. By Skeens. The other note on the scoreboard, anyway, Mets 7-0 over Washington. Mets pull into a virtual tie with the Padres for the final wild card spot in the National League. All right, so there you go on that. And are we ready to do our fair or foul, or do we need to...
I need to wait a couple more seconds for traffic to come through.
And we, okay, that, and Tony's not back in there. I don't know what I'm asking for. Kind of a silly question. We need to wait for Mr. Gwynn to return. He has to get out of here at some point because he's got the big, the big shindig down at Petco Park tonight.
Dinner on the Diamond.
Dinner on the Diamond.
Oh, and he revealed who the musical act is.
You know, I think he was kind of,
excited?
No, I think he was trying to make us feel bad. Or, you know, feel
he
like
was trying to make us feel bad.
Yeah, he was kind of telling, well, I'm going to this thing tonight, and guess who's who the musical guest is?
Ludacris. Wow.
Yeah. Even I like Ludacris, and I'm not cool in any way, shape, or form. But I think that would be
Ludacris
pretty
was
fun to see him
in high school.
Great. All right.
Okay. I guess we can.
He's had a long career, Ludacris.
Yeah.
Like, are we going 20 years?
Oh,
25?
Yeah. He was popular when I was in high school, and that was 99 through 2003.
Yeah, Shohei Ohtani just struck out with the bases loaded. That ought to put a smile on your face, Scraby.
It did.
Not
it did,
much
actually.
Does, but that will.
Although the umpire did kind of take it out of his hands early in the at-bat.
Oh, early in the at-bat. I was going to say he swung and missed the last pitch.
No, no, no. The first pitch was definitely a ball.
Not so if the umpire calls it a strike. Okay, here's Tony. Here's traffic. And then we go fair or foul.
Another edition of fair or foul. I'm going to get an open for this because it seems like we're going to be doing this more often, but we've changed the format just a little bit because there wasn't too many fair Padres points out there. Everything was foul because that's what I was seeing. So I'm going to change it up, and we will talk about the Padres when we can, but we're going to start with Jason Whitlock of the Blaze.
Man. What did he say?
And these are tweets that you're picking up, right? And,
yes.
And whether or not we think they are legit or not legit,
correct.
Otherwise termed fair or foul.
Correct.
Okay.
So I'm not going to play the whole thing that he said.
Can we just answer on Jason Whitlock before he plays it'll probably be foul?
No.
Okay.
Jason Whitlock is talking about Bronny James. And although he does make some points, this is not one that I agree with. But he said, Bronny James looked out of place at his summer league debut. This is his tweet. LeBron James has turned his son into the Make-A-Wish kid, and everybody in the media is going to play along. So I clicked, and I listened, and then he goes on to say that basically Bronny is just there because of his dad, and that he was born on third base, and that's why, you know, he wanted to attack the fact that LeBron is saying that Bronny's worked through all these things and he's done this his entire life. He's worked all the way to the top, and Jason Whitlock disagreed. So do you guys think this is fair or foul to call Bronny James a make-a-wish kid who was born on third base, Chris?
Oh, absolutely. Not.
Oh, wait. You're confusing me.
No, I don't think it's fair.
Fair or foul?
It's foul.
Okay.
It's foul. I mean, I don't know. I grew up in... you know, where there's a lot of silver spoons around. And in that neighborhood, you know, a lot of people maybe get a head start. Maybe they have certain advantages that others don't have. But I think ultimately you've got to go out and, you know, prove your worth. Did Bronny James get drafted because he's LeBron James' son? I think so. But we're going to find out. He's just getting an opportunity that just about everybody coming out of college and wants to play basketball is getting. And he can't help the fact that his dad's LeBron James. So I'm tired of everybody attacking him for something that he absolutely cannot control. The spotlight on him is far greater than any other young player coming into the NBA. So, you know, if he can legit play, we'll find out. If he can't legit play, we'll find that out too. So, no, I don't think it's fair to... Make a wish, kid?
Yeah, it's pretty.
Yeah,
it's
a little mean.
That's pretty far.
That's a lot mean, actually.
It doesn't even make sense.
It's even unfair to make a wish kids, the real ones
that
are out there.
It doesn't even make sense, quite frankly, because make a wish kid certainly isn't born on third base. So your whole premise doesn't.
Yeah.
His whole premise doesn't make sense. Listen, I guess the good part about this is they have to attack that because it's not as though Bronny is like this and comes off as this entitled kid that is, you know, has bad character or any of that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, this would be the case whether he was a first-round pick, second-round pick, a free agent, if he was out there getting minutes, that would be something that was said. Now, if he was a first-round pick and was deservingly a first-round pick, maybe the conversation's less. But, you know, I'm sure this was said about Barry Bonds. I'm sure this was said about Ken Griffey Jr. I know it was said about me at points in my life. And as you said, these are people, individuals that had no control over who their dads were when they were born. They didn't ask for it. It just came that way. And so, as Chris said, we'll find out eventually. In professional sports, you don't just get to hang around too long because someone is your dad.
Yeah. There's a lot of there's a lot more players out there, Tony, that I'm sure you came across with just in baseball that had dads who played baseball that never made it.
Right.
So just because your dad played doesn't mean you make it. You have to be good enough to make it. And the same will be true for Bronny James once the dust clears here. Yeah.
All right, so let's move on to the next one. Our next favorite guy, Shador Sanders, was speaking yesterday.
Another guy who's no fault of his own that his dad is who it is, but go ahead.
This is one of Scraby's enemies right here.
This is not an enemy of mine.
Now he's attacked. He's in attack mode.
I do think that Shador lives in a different world, which is fine.
Is he a Make-A-Wish kid?
Jeez, that was creepy the way you looked at me when
you
said that.
Is he a Make-A-Wish kid?
He's not a Make-A-Wish kid. But he did say this about at the Big 12 Media Day. Whenever teams come to play them, he said, "I know where everybody's Super Bowl thinking, not because of like talent level or anything, because it's so cool that you're going to play Deion Sanders' team in Colorado." So, Tony, is it fair or foul that Shador Sanders says, "I know where everybody's Super Bowl"?
It's fair, and it's not for the reasons that you just said, because I'm pretty sure he didn't say what you said. That it's pretty cool to beat Deion Sanders' kids.
Oh, yeah, he didn't say that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I will say, because of all the attention they get, teams 100% go in there wanting to stick it to them.
I buy that, yes.
And so maybe you disagree with the word Super Bowl, but don't get it twisted. Everybody who is going to play Colorado, especially early, as they will be a team that is favored to win a lot of games, is going in there circling that game because they want to knock off Colorado in prime time. It's no different than the folks that bought pay-per-view fights to see Floyd Mayweather get beat. Yeah. It has nothing to do with it. It's more so teams will want to go there because they want to stick it to them because of the attention.
Chris?
It's fair because I could... Previous to Deion Sanders arriving, could care less about any game that Colorado ever played.
Exactly.
And all of a sudden, last year, I watched them all until about the fifth or sixth week when they were completely irrelevant. But I watched them at the beginning, and I was into those games. Deion brings a spotlight, and his son, you know, doesn't do anything to dim that spotlight. So. Yeah, he's absolutely right. Everybody comes in there because, yeah, they want to be the ones to knock them off. They know they're going to get a lot of publicity and attention if they do.
Yeah.
This is not a segment for me to agree or disagree with, so I'll move on to the next one.
You had big problems with them saying it's Super Bowl. But
I just think it's like Shador.
Get over yourself. I know you think that.
But no one cares. I'm not saying that players don't care. I'm just saying.
What was the question that he was asked that led to that?
I closed the article.
How would you have done growing up in my world of Beverly Hills, California?
Oh, Scraby would have really
where almost
hated
everybody
it.
Was born on third base. Scraby, how would you have done there, I wonder?
Not well.
He would have struggled.
Not well.
He would have been in fights every day.
You know, when my high school had the...
He went to La Costa, by the way.
I know.
Yeah, no kidding. You had a spoon or two there.
Trust me. I'm not saying that, yeah. They had a club that it was like the International Car Club, and you had to have a car that was over $50,000 to join
really
the club.
Boiled your
and they
blood.
Would always back into their spots in their stupid little cars.
I could see him coming in with his backpack just hot about
why
that
does
club.
A 16-year-old need a $120,000 car?
That is a good question. My parents would have never bought me a car that much.
That's crazy. It's
every
crazy.
Parent I grew up knowing bought their kids that, except mine.
Chris is like,
I remember
it is jalopy.
Everybody had at the time this Schwinn 10-speed bicycle. They were the big deal at the time, and I mean, every student had one. except I had the Walmart special, you know, off-color.
This is at Beverly Hills High?
Yes, at Beverly Hills High. I would not park my bike on this campus of the school. I would park two blocks away and walk in. That's how embarrassing it was in that world.
I get it. I get it.
I get that, too.
I've driven a car before where I parked far away so that no one saw my car.
There you go.
And it wasn't even that bad of a car.
I wanted to blend.
Your Lamborghini was blending in.
Never had a Lamborghini. My Isuzu Rodeo blended in.
Ooh, that's a sweet car right there.
Nicely.
I remember Isuzu Rodeos. Those are great. All right, next one and maybe last one. But Eric Mangini, the man genius, who was a head coach for the New York Jets for a little bit, he was on FS1 with Colin Cowherd, and he was talking about Aaron Rodgers. And he was talking about how Aaron Rodgers missed his mandatory minicamp last month to take a trip to Egypt. But here's what he said. What's disappointing about that situation is he was the one that talked about the importance of limiting distraction. He was the one that would talk about the importance of focusing on only football and all the things that he preaches in the press conference. And then you get in this situation where he misses the mandatory minicamp. And I get that he has a voluntary part, and I think that's great, but it's not a secret what mandatory minicamp is. This year was actually a little bit earlier, and then you understand when vacation is, and if you have a trip that's planned, you can set up in a way that doesn't disturb the one thing you're required to do in the offseason. Chris, fair or foul on this comment?
Hard for me to ever think that too much Eric Mangini says is fair, but I'm going to go fair. I think it's fair. I don't think he was being overly critical. I think he was just bringing up the obvious point that, you know, if you say that we don't want distractions, you not being at mini camps and you're Aaron Rodgers has to be a distraction. Maybe it's not, you know, on you, but the other players have to deal with it. I don't know. I mean, Aaron Rodgers still hasn't really had a down more than two downs, you know, for the New York Jets, right?
Yeah, I mean, he literally got hurt in the first drive of the game.
First drive of the first game last year. Yeah. So I'm going to say fair. I know he's taking a shot at Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers is, you know, forevermore going to be a great quarterback no matter what happens in New York. But I think, you know, in a perfect world, he'd be there.
Tony, fair or foul on Mangenius?
I'm going to say fair. If I recall correctly, Aaron was on his bully pulpit. And I believe it felt like he was wagging his finger at, like, the front office and, you know, some of the things that were being leaked out about Zach Wilson at the time. And he did say a lot of that. We need to limit the distractions. He has to know at this point in his career that him not being at a...
I would think, yeah.
At a, what is it, mandatory? Is it
mandatory?
Mandatory,
mandatory
camp.
Mandatory, yeah.
And not only not being at a mandatory... It's one thing to be at a, not at a mandatory camp and somewhere throwing footballs and, you know,
yes.
Having your own thing.
Sphinx
he's
in Egypt.
He's in Egypt. And I'm not saying he's wrong for going to Egypt, but you had to know that it was going to be a distraction. You had to know that there's going to be something minus football, which is what you just, what you spent some time last year during the season while you were healing, kind of pointing the finger at. So I think the criticism or whatever Mangini said is fair on this one.
All right. Final one, and it's a 49er one. Jerry Rice was asked about the whole Brandon Ayuk contract talks and all of that's going on with that, him deleting the team. The team, him deleting the team from his profile and all that. But Jerry Rice said, I think his main focus right now... Let me start that over. I think his main focus right now is just to play football. Play football and just let his ability speak for itself, and we'll see what happens after the season. That's in his control. That's what you want. So basically, the context of this is that Brandon Ayuk is on a one-year deal, basically, for $14 million. He wants a new contract. But Jerry Rice, who has plenty of money and plenty of playing career behind him, says that he just needs to play football this year. Tony, fair or foul?
Fair. I mean, ultimately, he's going to get his money. It may not be with San Francisco. Somebody's going to give it to him.
Yeah.
And the better he goes out and plays this year, likely the more he's going to be able to get. So if I were him, I would have already, at least in my mind, made it at least put it the thought in my mind that I'm not going to be a Niner moving forward. However, I'm going to go out and put up the best season I possibly can to strengthen my case for whoever then signs me. And in the end, that might end up helping the Niners on your way out, make you become a champion. So That's how I would look at it.
Fair foul, Chris.
It's totally fair, but I don't think that Brandon Ayuk's going to feel it's fair, and that might be part of the issue here. Tony's 100% right. Simple. Go out, be great. Somebody will give you a ton of money. You go out and pout, catch three passes a game for 11 yards, you're not going to get that free agent contract you want. So this is simple. Jerry Rice is probably somebody you should listen to if you're a wide receiver. But I get the feeling that a lot of the younger generation players don't want to hear from, feel like they're being browbeat by the former, you know, stars like Jerry Rice.
I also think that this generation of player is much more aware of how fast this thing can come to an end. And so maybe that is the holdup. Like, listen, all that's great, but I go out here and I plant
if he
and
gets hurt
my
in week
knee,
two, yeah, right?
This
yeah.
is I'm dealing with a completely different situation. And that's what makes football a little more unique with the contract demands than anything else that any other sport we deal with.
Man, I'm just looking through Jerry Rice's contracts. His first real contract, 1988, was 5 years, $5 million.
Nice. And he was overpaid.
And that was
in the minds of most people.
Right. That's insane to me. Right. That's insane to me. He made $1 million a year, Jerry Rice. And Brandon Ayuk is complaining about 14. Yeah. What are we doing here?
Well, it's Jerry's fault. They went out and made the league that much better.
Yeah, Jerry, why don't you just give him some money out of your pocket? Let's go, bro. All right, that's it for Fair or Foul. Chris?
Very good. We'll settle things down here a little bit. Come back with Chris versus the fans. Play some trivia. You might get to go to Las Vegas, 833-288-0973. Let's go.
Another edition of Fair or Foul. I'm going to get an open for this because it seems like we're going to be doing this more often, but we've changed the format just a little bit because there wasn't too many fair Padres points out there. Everything was foul because that's what I was seeing. So I'm going to change it up, and we will talk about the Padres when we can, but we're going to start with Jason Whitlock of the Blaze.
Man. What did he say?
And these are tweets that you're picking up, right? And,
yes.
And whether or not we think they are legit or not legit,
correct.
Otherwise termed fair or foul.
Correct. Okay. So I'm not going to play the whole thing that he
do
said.
Can we just answer on Jason Whitlock before he plays it? That it'll probably be foul?
No.
Okay.
Jason Whitlock is talking about Bronny James. And although he does make some points, this is not one that I agree with. But he said, Bronny James looked out of place at his summer league debut. This is his tweet. LeBron James has turned his son into the Make-A-Wish kid, and everybody in the media is going to play along. So I clicked, and I listened, and then he goes on to say that basically Bronny is just there because of his dad, and that he was born on third base, and that's why, you know, he wanted to attack the fact that LeBron is saying that Bronny's worked through all these things and he's done this his entire life. He's worked all the way to the top, and Jason Whitlock disagreed. So do you guys think this is fair or foul to call Bronny James a make-a-wish kid who was born on third base, Chris?
Oh, absolutely. Not.
Oh, wait. You're confusing me.
No, I don't think it's fair.
Fair or foul?
It's foul.
Okay.
It's foul. I mean, I don't know. I grew up in, you know, where there's a lot of silver spoons around. And in that neighborhood, you know, a lot of people maybe get a head start. Maybe they have certain advantages that others don't have. But I think ultimately you've got to go out and, you know, prove your worth. Did Bronny James get drafted because he's LeBron James' son? I think so. But we're going to find out. He's just getting an opportunity that just about everybody coming out of college and wants to play basketball is getting. And he can't help the fact that his dad's LeBron James. So I'm tired of everybody attacking him for something that he absolutely cannot control. The spotlight on him is far greater than any other young player coming into the NBA. So, you know, if he can legit play, we'll find out. If he can't legit play, we'll find that out too. So, no, I don't think it's fair to Make-A-Wish kid?
Yeah, it's pretty.
Yeah,
it's
a little mean.
That's pretty far.
That's a lot mean, actually.
It doesn't even make sense.
Even unfair to Make-A-Wish kids, the real ones
that
are out there.
It doesn't even make sense, quite frankly, because Make-A-Wish kid certainly isn't born on third base. So your whole premise doesn't.
Yeah.
His whole premise doesn't make sense. Listen, I guess the good part about this is they have to attack that because it's not as though Bronny is like this and comes off as this entitled kid that is, you know, a has bad character or any of that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, this would be the case whether he was a first-round pick, second-round pick, a free agent. If he was out there getting minutes, that would be something that was said. Now, if he was a first-round pick and was deservingly a first-round pick, maybe the conversation's less. But, you know, I'm sure this was said about Barry Bonds. I'm sure this was said about Ken Griffey Jr. I know it was said about me at points in my life. And as you said, these are people, individuals that had no control over who their dads were when they were born. They didn't ask for it. It just came that way. And so, as Chris said, we'll find out eventually. In professional sports, you don't just get to hang around too long because someone is your dad.
Yeah. There's a lot of there's a lot more players out there, Tony, that I'm sure you came across with just in baseball that had dads who played baseball that never made it.
Right.
So just because your dad played doesn't mean you make it. You have to be good enough to make it. And the same will be true for Bronny James once the dust clears here. Yeah.
All right, so let's move on to the next one. Our next favorite guy, Shedeur Sanders, was speaking yesterday.
Another guy who's no fault of his own that his dad is who it is, but go ahead.
This is one of Scraby's enemies right here.
This is not an enemy of mine.
Now he's attacked. He's in attack mode.
I do think that Shedeur lives in a different world, which is fine.
Is he a Make-A-Wish kid?
Jeez, that was creepy the way you looked at me when
you said
that.
Is he a Make-A-Wish kid?
He's not a Make-A-Wish kid. But he did say this about at the Big 12 Media Day. Whenever teams come to play them, he said, "I know where everybody's Super Bowl thinking, not because of like talent level or anything, because it's so cool that you're going to play Deion Sanders' team in Colorado." So, Tony, is it fair or foul that Shedeur Sanders says, "I know where everybody's Super Bowl"?
It's fair, and it's not for the reasons that you just said, because I'm pretty sure he didn't say what you said. That it's pretty cool to beat Deion Sanders' kids.
Oh, yeah, he didn't say that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I will say, because of all the attention they get, teams 100% go in there wanting to stick it to them.
I buy that, yes.
And so maybe you disagree with the word Super Bowl, but don't get it twisted. Everybody who is going to play Colorado, especially early, as they will be a team that is favored to win a lot of games, is going in there circling that game because they want to knock off Colorado in prime time. It's no different than the folks that bought pay-per-view fights to see Floyd Mayweather get beat. It has nothing to do with it. It's more so teams will want to go there because they want to stick it to them because of the attention.
Chris?
It's fair because I could... Previous to Deion Sanders arriving, could care less about any game that Colorado ever played.
Exactly.
And all of a sudden, last year, I watched them all until about the fifth or sixth week when they were completely irrelevant. But I watched them at the beginning, and I was into those games. Deion brings a spotlight, and his son, you know, doesn't do anything to dim that spotlight. So. Yeah, he's absolutely right. Everybody comes in there because, yeah, they want to be the ones to knock them off. They know they're going to get a lot of publicity and attention if they do.
Yeah.
This is not a segment for me to agree or disagree with, so I'll move on to the next one.
You had big problems with them saying it's Super Bowl. But
I just think it's like Shedeur.
Get over yourself. I know you think that.
No one cares. I'm not saying players don't care. I'm just saying.
What was the question that he was asked that led to that?
I closed the article.
How would you have done growing up in my world of Beverly Hills, California?
Oh, Scraby would have really
where almost
hated
everybody
it.
Was born on third base. Scraby, how would you have done there, I wonder?
Not well.
He would have struggled.
Not well.
He would have been in fights every day.
You know, when my high school had the...
He went to La Costa, by the way.
I know.
Yeah, no kidding. You had a spoon or two there.
Trust me. I'm not saying that, yeah. They had a club that it was like the International Car Club, and you had to have a car that was over $50,000.
Oh, really boiled your
blood. And they would always back into their spots in their stupid little cars.
I could see him coming in with his backpack just hot about
that club. Why does a 16-year-old need a $120,000 car?
That is a good question. My parents would have never bought me a car that much.
That's crazy. It's
every parent I grew up knowing bought their kids that, except mine.
Chris is like,
I remember
his jalopy.
Everybody had at the time this Schwinn 10-speed bicycle. They were the big deal at the time. And I mean, every student had one, except I had the Walmart special, you know, off color.
This is at Beverly Hills High?
Yes, at Beverly Hills High. I would not park my bike on this campus of the school. I would park two blocks away and walk in. That's how embarrassing it was in that world.
I get it.
I get that, too.
I've driven a car before where I parked far away so that no one saw my car.
There you go.
And it wasn't even that bad of a car.
I wanted to blend.
Your Lamborghini was blending in?
Yeah. Never had a Lamborghini. My Isuzu Rodeo blended in.
Ooh, that's a
nicely.
Sweet car right there.
Nicely.
I remember Isuzu Rodeos. Those are great. All right, next one, and maybe last one, but Eric Mangini, the Mangenius, who was a head coach for the New York Jets for a little bit, he was on FS1 with Colin Cowherd, and he was talking about Aaron Rodgers. And he was talking about how Aaron Rodgers missed his mandatory minicamp last month to take a trip to Egypt. But here's what he said. What's disappointing about that situation is he was the one that talked about the importance of limiting distraction. He was the one that would talk about the importance of focusing on only football and all the things that he preaches in the press conference. And then you get in the situation where he misses the mandatory minicamp. And I get that he has a voluntary part, and I think that's great, but it's not a secret what mandatory minicamp is. This year was actually a little bit earlier, and then you understand when vacation is, and if you have a trip that's planned, you can set up in a way that doesn't disturb the one thing you're required to do in the offseason. Chris, fair or foul on this comment?
Hard for me to ever think that too much Eric Mangenius says is fair, but I'm going to go fair. I think it's fair. I don't think he was being overly critical. I think he was just bringing up the obvious point that, you know, if you say that we don't want distractions, you not being at mini camps and you're Aaron Rodgers has to be a distraction. Maybe it's not, you know, on you, but the other players have to deal with it. I don't know. I mean, Aaron Rodgers still hasn't really had a down, more than two downs, you know, for the New York Jets, right?
Yeah, I mean, he literally got hurt in the first drive of the game.
First drive of the first game last year. Yeah. So I'm going to say fair. I know he's taking a shot at Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers is, you know, forevermore going to be a great quarterback no matter what happens in New York. But I think, you know, in a perfect world, he'd be there.
Tony, fair or foul on Mangenius?
I'm going to say fair. If I recall correctly, Aaron was on his bully pulpit, and I believe it felt like he was wagging his finger at, like, the front office and, you know, some of the things that were being leaked out about Zach Wilson at the time. And he did say a lot of that. We need to limit the distractions. He has to know at this point in his career that him not being at a...
I would think, yeah.
At a, what is it, mandatory? Is it mandatory?
Mandatory camp.
Mandatory,
yeah.
And not only not being at a mandatory... It's one thing to be not at a mandatory camp and somewhere throwing footballs and, you know,
yes,
having your own thing.
Sphinx.
He's in Egypt. And I'm not saying he's wrong for going to Egypt, but you had to know that it was going to be a distraction. You had to know that there's going to be something minus football, which is what you spent some time last year during the season while you were healing, kind of pointing the finger at. So I think the criticism or whatever Mangini said is fair on this one.
All right. Final one, and it's a 49er one. Jerry Rice was asked about the whole Brandon Ayuk contract talks and all of that's going on with that, him deleting the team. Him deleting the team from his profile and all that. But Jerry Rice said, I think his main focus right now... Let me start that over. I think his main focus right now is just to play football. Play football and just let his ability speak for itself, and we'll see what happens after the season. That's in his control. That's what you want. So basically, the context of this is that Brandon Ayuk is on a one-year deal, basically, for $14 million. He wants a new contract. But Jerry Rice, who has plenty of money and plenty of playing career behind him, says that he just needs to play football this year. Tony, fair or foul?
Fair. I mean, ultimately, he's going to get his money. It may not be with San Francisco. Somebody's going to give it to him.
Yeah.
And the better he goes out and plays this year, likely the more he's going to be able to get. So If I were him, I would have already, at least in my mind, made it at least put it the thought in my mind that I'm not going to be a Niner moving forward. However, I'm going to go out and put up the best season I possibly can to strengthen my case for whoever then signs me. And in the end, that might end up helping the Niners on your way out make you become a champion. So that's how I would look at it.
Fair, Falcris.
It's totally fair, but I don't think that Brandon Ayuk's going to feel it's fair, and that might be part of the issue here. Tony's 100% right. Simple. Go out, be great. Somebody will give you a ton of money. You go out and pout, catch three passes a game for 11 yards, you're not going to get that free agent contract you want. So this is simple. Jerry Rice is probably somebody you should listen to if you're a wide receiver. But I get the feeling that a lot of the younger generation players don't want to hear from, feel like they're being browbeat by the former, you know, stars like Jerry Rice.
I also think that this generation of player is much more aware of how fast this thing can come to an end. And so maybe that is the holdup. Like, listen, all that's great, but I go out here and I plant.
If he gets hurt in week two,
I'm dealing with a completely different situation. And that's what makes football a little more unique with the contract demands than anything else that any other sport we deal with.
Man, I'm just looking through Jerry Rice's contracts. His first real contract, 1988, was 5 years, $5 million.
Right. And he was overpaid.
And that was
in the minds of most people.
Right. That's insane to me. Right. That's insane to me. He made $1 million a year, Jerry Rice. And Brandon Ayuk is complaining about 14. Yeah. What are we doing here?
Well, it's Jerry's fault. They went out and made the league that much better.
Yeah, Jerry, why don't you just give him some money out of your pocket? Let's go, bro. All right, that's it for Fair or Foul.
Chris? Very good. We'll settle things down here a little bit. Come back with Chris versus the fans. Play some trivia. You might get to go to Las Vegas, 833-288-0973. Let's go.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.